QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. It's 147.330 megahertz, a plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, a couple of announcements here. We're coming up on the next club meeting for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, which will be Saturday, September 29th. Starts with a tech hour at 5:30 and the general meeting at 6:30, and that will be held at the usual place of the Big Bear Lake Fire Station, right off of downtown Big Bear Lake there. So that's at 5:30 tech hour and 6:30 general meeting. Also, the following day on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, same place, same station, we will be doing ham testing. Walk-ins aren't allowed. Please email me if you can, but we will accept all walk-ins, upgrades, tech tests, whatever you want to do there. So anyway, Saturday is the meeting. Sunday we're doing testing. All right, topic for the evening is being pulled from the September issue of QST. Pretty cool article here. written by Becky Schoenfield, I guess that's her, how it's pronounced, W1BXY, speaking about, amateur radio visionary, Mort Rogoff, W2EE, some things that he worked on, and we're going to go back in that, this is going in the way back machine here again. And the article is called Wireless on His Mind. Anyway, we'll do a brief roster here of our support team and great followers here. How about we'll start out with WB6CLZ Mike. I think you're in Placentia.
At least till tomorrow morning. Hey, good evening, Tom and the net. WB6CLZ, we're standing by.
Okay, Mike, good to have you out there as my co-host here and helper and whatever else you do out there, which is a million different things. Appreciate that. How about WB6CIN Cindy? Is she there?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy, glad to have you out there. By the way, you'll love to see my garden that's still going great up here. I don't know how. At 7,200 feet, 7,250. All right, how about KA6CIA, George?
Hey, good evening, Tom and the group, KA6CIA.
Well, good evening, George, and thanks for being out there from Lucerne Valley this evening. Appreciate that. How about KE6RJ and KE6QI? Harry and Nancy. I forgot to give them the wake-up call. Anyway, let's see here. What do we have here going down the list? KJ6HCS Mike.
Evening, everybody. KJ6HCS.
Well, good evening, Mike, from the west end here of the Big Bear Valley. Appreciate you being out there. Courtesy check-in for your dad. K6EKX, if he is listening. How about WA6ITC? Rod.
Yeah, from Mike Williams. WA6ITC.
Well, good evening, Rod. Boy, daylight is disappearing earlier these days. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate that. Let's see, going on down the list here, I have KJ6KDL and KJ6KDK. Not sure if he's out there. He had to work kind of late. Jim and Rosemary, are you out there?
KJ6KDL here, related with
KJ6KDK.
All right, Jim, Rosemary, thanks for being out there. Thanks for joining us. And I think I skipped right over, but did not forget, KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands.
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
Hey, good evening, Mike. I'm watching this list close. I don't mess up too many times. All right, don't know if he's out there. We'll give him a holler. WB6PBZ, Ray. And nothing heard there. How about W6GZI, Frank, who might be over there in Irwin Lake?
Yes, I'm here. This is W6GZI. Good evening.
Ah, good evening, Frank. Glad to have you out there. How about KI6IQA, Kelly?
KI6IQA.
Hey, Kelly, thanks for checking in. Appreciate that. Next I have here, you know what, I've got him right there, K9AOG, Stephen from Long Beach.
Good evening, this is Stephen, K9AOG in Long Beach.
Thanks, Stephen. Hopefully the weather's good down there by the coast. K6GBL, Ron, are you out there this evening from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Annette, this is Ron, K6GBL from Green Valley Lake and back from Utah.
Aha, that's where you went. We're almost sent out SNR for you there. Hopefully it was a good trip over there. Appreciate that. Next I have AD6PL, Harold in Riverside. All right, well, we'll give him another shot there. AD6PL, Harold. You might have a little trouble getting in there. Don't know if he's out there. Another mystery guy has been on vacation. K6LCS, Clint from Arupa Valley. And nothing heard out there. How about KJ6PYB, Dave in Sherwood?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. KJ6PYB checking in from Sherwood.
Well, Dave, I really appreciate you checking in here just about every Tuesday. Thank you very much for that. Let's see here. I have K6YNW. Chris, are you out there this evening?
Howdy, Tom and Annette. K6YNW.
Okay, Chris, glad to have you out there. And, of course, with the repeater back up and running now, we can get all you people out there who we missed for a while. How about W6POO? Chip, are you back? And nothing heard there, and this is KF6Q with Tech Tuesday on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater every Tuesday that we can. Next I have is KD6LN Bill, but I do know he's enjoying a backpacking trip in the Sierras. Lucky guy. So we'll just give him a courtesy check-in. Next I have AE6CK Victor in Santa Fe Springs.
Good evening, Tom and the group. Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
All right, Victor, hey, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate that, and hopefully it's good weather coming your way, I hope. How about KA6ROD Rod in Woodridge?
KA6ROD, good evening.
All right, Rod, good evening. Glad to have you out there. How about KB6LTY, Christy? And nothing heard. That's pretty much our regulars we have. Got other, a few others that do check in from time to time. Anybody else that would like to check in this evening as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
W6JET.
Mobile, Apple Valley, this is Shelley.
I am so sorry. Rob, I have got to put you on this roster here. I thought I did have you there. Rob at W6JET from, is that Temple City?
here in Sugarloaf to die.
Okay, good deal. Oh, there you are. I have to redo it. If you saw this list, I really have it's time to redo it. And Shelly out there in Apple Valley, glad you could join us. Appreciate that. Good strong signal, Shelly.
QIN, thanks a lot, Tom. I got my bride with me. We're sitting on the corner there at Town Center Drive and Apple Valley Road, so I'm ready to go. back to the net.
Okay, good deal there, Shelly and the missus. Glad you're both out there. Anybody else out there would like to check in? And hopefully I haven't missed too many people here. Go ahead. Please come back to KF6Q.
Kilo 6 Echo Zulu November. Ben, mobile.
All right, I have an easy end there, mobile. Glad to have you out there. Anybody else?
KJ6TXY Al Clark, check in.
Alan, glad to have you with us out there this evening. Thank you for listening in. Anybody else?
KJ6TXKY. Later.
All right, got a couple out there. Appreciate you all listening in. Anybody else? All right, well, you know what? I know we have a lot of more listeners out there, but anybody can join in. Questions, suggestions, whatever, any point in time, contact us here at Net Control. Well, Michael, pretty cool article here. Wireless on his mind. This guy really had a lot of vision, and which is where a lot of our inventions go in our direction of our technology. Generally starts with a few people like this, but it seems like he's had a lot of different things out there looking towards the future. Cell phones and GPS. Now, is this something he really, I mean, there is basically this something that he had got started?
Sounds like it. It sounds like the idea came from him, and then he just used his wherewithal to get it moving and get it going. Kind of an interesting guy, too. Kind of like you and I, Tom. Ham radio at an early age, only a little bit earlier than both you and I think 9. I don't know if I was even thinking about radios at 9, maybe 10, but I'm not sure about 9. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of this stuff came out of his mind. There's a couple of his later inventions that he collaborated with and some other things, but quite interesting. Let's get into it.
All right, well, the person we're talking about here is Mortimer, known as Mort Rogoff, and he was born in Brooklyn, New York, on May 2nd, 1921, and like you say, he's hooked on radio by the time he was 9 years old. By golly, that would be about 1930, and I got to say that we all fail to realize that radio is alive and well. History of radio goes way back. And Mike, I like this guy because basically he did the same thing I did. We tear stuff apart. Because you know what? I think I started a few years, a lot of years later, but I think it was about 11 or 12, and I found that I had no money for parts. So any radio, anything I could get that was tossed, and by the way, if anybody knows me, you'll know this is a very deep-rooted thing with me, that I was able to get parts from these things and go from there. Mike, did you ever start out with that way? I mean, were you the disassembler guy first?
Yeah, my buddy Steve Brown and I used to go around to the trash bins at the aerospace companies and on our bicycles on the weekends and this and that. I made 50 cents an hour cutting the neighbor's lawn when I could. So that kind of paid for a little bit of the stuff and not much over at what used to be Henry Radio, though. Yep, that's where we come from too, Tom. Back to you.
Yeah, and I have to interject one quick thing here. My dad brought a radio home, knowing that I did this, brought a radio home. He says, here you go. And he actually handed it to me to fix for one of his fellow workers. I thought it was something to take apart. And when he asked me about a week later, did you get it fixed? I go, what? Did I get what fixed? Oh, well, that's a whole other story in itself, and we won't go there tonight. Anyway, yeah, it looks like at the age of 14, he got out there and took the amateur radio license exam. I guess there was only two at that time, one pertaining to regulations and electronics, the other with Morse code. And his original call, W2ING, he was probably, and no, excuse me, he was one of the youngest hams in the country at that time, which is pretty cool. So we're, you know, we're going back there, 1935, age 14, out there, pounding the key. Got to give this guy some credit. Anyway, he held on that, and basically, you know, it, oh well, the wife did not like his call, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, he chose W2EE, which was electrical engineer, which he had for the rest of his life. So anyway, pretty neat. Hey, there you go. First vanity call, I guess. Mike, what do you think of this guy? I mean, you know what? We're talking about when radio was real basic, basically just tubes and wires.
Radio had just come out of the wireless era and, like you say, into the valves or tubes and wires and a couple of capacitors and a crystal here and there, and they were in business. You know, some of those early guys built their own receivers, too, and the transmitters, obviously. Then it looks like he after he graduated from high school, went to, I can't pronounce it, but a Polytechnic Institute to pursue his bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. And also helped set up the radio club there at, I guess it's RPI, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Maybe there's somebody from the East that knows how to pronounce that name better than myself. But set up the ham radio station there. And then after that, kind of went into the Navy and went on from there. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday and the group. Every Tuesday we can. Well, RPI, heard that before once. My father, who was from New York, basically had a shot at getting there in there, and don't really know what happened with that either. But it looks like after he did all that, he went in the Navy for a few years there and got all the way up to a tenant. So, and then worked on studying microwave and radar. So a lot of stuff happening. We're, you know, we look back at this stuff in those years and we feel like, wow, were we really that far ahead? Well, yeah, we were. So pretty cool. 1943, 1944, you know, working on test and repair for the Navy and the Naval Air Force. So, yeah, this is... we look back at World War II and we think of prop planes and not a lot of electronics, but there was a lot going on, just like there is today. Not always general public information, but pretty cool. Well, Mike, you spent some time in the Navy also with radio, is that correct?
I was a radio operator in Vietnam and also a radio operator in on a USS Leonard F. Mason, DD-852. But I was a Naval Reserve, so my active duty time was only about a year and 9 months. We didn't get to enjoy the full 4 or 6 years. Hi. Yeah, it looks like he was on a supply and repair ship. Basically, what these things do, they're large ships that go out either are in dock near a naval task force or out with the task force. And he was in charge as a lieutenant of maintaining the radio, the radar equipment, and you know, all kinds of other stuff like that with people in the group that he was in. Wow, and this is kind of interesting. Tell us about the storm, Tom. This kind of, it looked like it shaped some of his life regarding some of the like Loran and some of the other long-range navigation tools. Looks like this kind of set him on the right direction for that. Back to you, Tom.
Well, yeah, evidently, once upon a time in a galaxy far... No, wait a minute. Okay, that was another story. One night, a very severe storm knocked out the ship's radio direction finding and Loran tools, which they had, and he basically was able to keep the ship on course using the new radar technology in which he was an expert. The experience showed him that there was a need for detailed, reliable navigation tools, and of course, this is taking from what they did have at that point in time, and he was going to move forward to develop this further. Well, anyway, this is how, you know, like I say, the need is the mother of invention. So basically, he also went on, got his master's degree, and also joined up with ITT. Well, this guy's really got a track record here. Went to a state-of-the-art research facility over in New Jersey. So, you know, this guy is like the star player here. Funny how these people like this, who have done so much to shape our radio and technology, especially with the military and whatnot, we just don't, they've kind of faded into the dust. Mike, I imagine there's a few. We did one on Tesla, Nikola Tesla, it was another. But this is really, really fantastic. Well, Mike, I guess he did some more work at ITT. You want to kind of cover a little bit about that?
It sounds like from here he went to work for ITT, which was big. I mean, they had a couple of facilities in the Costa Mesa or Santa Ana area, as I recall. But, pretty big in telecommunications and navigation field. Looked like he, his first assignment was a military version of long-range navigation, and it would enable the ground stations to guide bombers and missiles from distances of up to 2,000 nautical miles. Pretty good at the time. Looks like, though, the downfall of the system, it was a global wireless signal, was low-freak, transmitted at 100 kilohertz. They figured that would give them longer distances than a high-frequency signal. But I guess they had a lot of trouble with atmospheric noise and not kind of as effective as they would have hoped. So then they kind of went to the next step and decided that that wasn't work, so he kind of went into another thing. Kind of looks like a crypto or some sort of device that you could send messages cloaked in the noise. Pretty interesting. Let's see. To create the process, he would randomly select 1,400 phone numbers from the Manhattan phone book and then create a circular plot. Very interesting. Tell us how that's done, Tom. That's here. Looks like it's kind of interesting. And the device kind of looks like one of today's encoder, that volume controls and that, or you know, just now we use an opto-isolator with little black lines to chop it for pulses. But he used that the program or the process with the phone numbers to create noise and then have a way to get the signal out of the noise. Very interesting. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and KF6Q here with Tech Tuesday in the group. It is amazing the different things that were dreamed up, and this is one thing that he was very good at, of course, with all the stuff he's done. And like you say, a little weird cryptography, pulling numbers out of the phone book. Very strange, but very unique. You know, with all this stuff he had going on there, he had also a little bit of a start here in spread spectrum, which is actually something that's used a lot today. But you know what? This was super secret at that point in time. And he actually, even though this work was, I don't really say when it was, I think that's also a secret, he was not issued the patent for that until 1979. And is now the digital backbone of cell phone communications and GPS technology. So this guy had really had all this stuff going on. And I know we do credit a lot of this stuff to Motorola, who's always, they've slapped their name on that, and they're all, you know, they are a good company and all that. But we're looking at the guy who really had this stuff going on. So anyway, Mike, I don't know, this guy, 21st century stuff, and, you know, he's got a couple books out here. You want to go ahead and take that. This is KF6Q back to WB6CLZ.
Hey, Tom, KF6Q, this is WB6CLZ, hey, will ID.
yeah, it sounds like he wrote a book, Calculator Navigation, in 19, it was published by Norton in 1979, and I guess that, while he was writing that book, it kind of occurred to him that it should be possible to integrate all of the ship's incoming radio transmitted data via the computer into a real-time full-color display on the bridge of the ship. And I've seen those displays. They're kind of neat. I mean, you've got all of your information right there. In the olden days, basically, you didn't have very much, and going back to the navigation systems, the LORAN and the RDF, the radio direction finders, basically would use stations on points throughout the Earth to triangulate. Well, this is different. You've got everything right there, and it looks like that was the basis for the GPS system we have now. He also started several companies, one of his prototypes, called ViewNav, which was related to the computer system, it became available in 1981. Carnival Cruise Lines use it. I'm sure they probably still do. British Petroleum, a lot of private yacht owners and fishing companies, like the ones you see out on the Bering Sea. Kind of interesting. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, KF6Q here in the group, Tech Tuesday. You know, that is just awesome. As time moved forward, so did he, with all these different things he had there. I guess his electronic charts were legal for worldwide use in 2002, as a lot of the stuff was basically restricted as because it was pretty top-of-the-line stuff. So, you know, I think this is pretty awesome. Excuse me. This is one person who basically kind of has faded out there and to the shadows. However, I think a lot of that is because of the fact of his technology and what he was on cutting edge at the time, going way back, and a lot of that stuff is kept on the pretty much on the hush, and it still is today. Of course, we have no idea what's going on out there. We just know we have stuff. So, well, anyway, pretty cool thing here, Mike, and I like doing these little articles like this on these people. I'm glad to see they put this in QST. If you're not a member of the ARRL, you might want to join. You get this magazine every month, and it's worth the yearly fee of $39 just in itself. So, and it's also available now online, so you don't even need to get the printed version. So, pretty cool. Well, Mike, anything to add? I think this guy's had an incredible history. Back to you.
I just noticed here, Tom, that down a little bit farther, they mentioned that he had at his Nantech, I guess his daughter's compound, maybe, on Nantucket Island. He summered there, spent the summers out there, and on that, in the grounds of the cottage for his antenna, we were discussing this at one of our Tech Tuesdays, putting a vertical antenna inside of a flagpole, and I guess he had one. They mentioned it must have been important enough to him to where his friend wrote this in the article. So there you have it. Whoever was asking about the antennas, vertical antenna inside of a flagpole or inside of a fiberglass or PVC pole, I guess this guy had one, and probably was the only way he could use amateur radio on Nantucket Island. Maybe he got a lot of restrictions or something. Great article. Yeah, really interesting. I always, you know, you wonder where these things come from and who develops a lot of these technologies. And as you look back, not only these technologies, but a lot of the technologies that we're using today come from amateur radio operators. It's amazing if you kind of look up and see how many of them were hams, and believe it or not, most of them were. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, the sad part about this is that Mort passed away back in 2008, August 1st, and he had been battling bladder cancer for about 4 years. So, but according to this, he was sharp right up to the end, and he had 17 patents in his lifetime. With a lot of these different, with interrelated between communication, navigation, military, commercial use, pretty awesome stuff there. So, pretty neat. Well, Mike, just to kind of carry on just a little bit, I know that he had a great amount of foresight and not to draw off of him on any way, shape, or form. But I know that a lot of the devices we have today, if you look back, and I know you're going to laugh, at Star Trek way back in the late 60s, they've had actually shows where just about all the devices that they use, other than the transporter, and warp speed. But basically, young kids took those ideas and ran with them and said, you know what, I think we can do that. It's a pretty awesome show if you ever get a chance to see it. Have you seen that on Nat Geo?
Long and prosper. Of course I'm a Trekkie. Come on. Yeah, and I'm just waiting for the transporter. That is the one that I can hardly wait for. I think that would save me a lot of time. Back to you, Tom.
Well, hold on to your Batmobile, Batman. They're basically on the cutting edge. Are moving things around from point to point. Very small things. Nothing alive. Basically, yet not really. I don't think they're really sure of what they're doing and where it's going and where it's going through time or space or both. But anyway, they're working on this stuff. So, I'm just going by what has been released to the public. I'm sure there's a lot more that hasn't. Pretty awesome. Don't know if I would want to have my particles spread out, beamed across the galaxy. I'll be happy. I'll take a plane, a train, or an automobile. Back to you, Mike.
I've been trying to get Cindy to let me buy a plane for a long time, but I don't think she's going to go for it. So I've got to wait for that. Back to you, Tom.
Well, just Cindy, give him a piece of paper. Show him where to fold on the lines. Say, there you go. Here's your plane. Well, anybody out there listening in, any comments or anything about this? This is pretty cool stuff. Anybody with any experiences out there, anybody you've known, please come back to KO6Q here in the group. And not a lot of people out there are jumping on that. Mike, really awesome. Even the tricorder that the doctors used, and, you know, we're checking. You know, look at all the medical stuff we do today that is done with imaging MRIs. Of course, they're pretty huge right now. As all this stuff starts to shrink down and things that just weren't even possible some time ago. But this scanning or full body scan, this is something actually they did have that on Star Trek, believe it or not, and all the other little devices. So. Makes you wonder, you know, you see something in science fiction, even like Buck Rogers, going to the moon. All these things like this have triggered the imagination of someone, and they move forward with that. Pretty neat, I think. Well, Mike, anything to add in closing for Tech Tuesday tonight?
G-Z-I.
Oh, Frank, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I called you before, but the microphone that I had was hooked up to the radio that was turned off. But anyway, there was a science fiction movie called The Fly. I don't know if you saw it, but the guy was experimenting with either time travel or...
Okay, Frank, I think we lost you on the mic there, but go ahead when you get back in there. Go ahead. Oh, let my Frank get back in there in a minute. Yeah, the Fly. Actually, version 1, version 2. Whoa, there's some scary stuff. I don't know. So there's science fiction and there's science fiction that's scary. Mike, speaking of science fiction, oh, I got to bring this up. Let me reset. And Frank, if you're there, come back in. Okay, I think we lost Frank here. Anyway, this is probably, God, this has got to be the 50s of the invaders from Mars. And little Timmy, was it Timmy or Tommy? Anyway, we go out there to where the sand, and they get eaten up into the sand, and all these Martians were underground, and they were just all kinds of really cool stuff. That used to scare the bejesus out of me. I was like, I think I was only about like 6 or 7 years old. Mike, did you ever see that one? I saw it and didn't like it, but now it's like nostalgia. I gotta watch it if you ever put it on.
His name was David.
David. Ah, there you go. See, there's my memory going south. But pretty cool stuff. I don't know. And then they did a remake with a whole other group. But, yeah. And watch out. You see somebody with a little button in the back of their head there. Anyway, anybody else out there, anything to share before we close down Tech Tuesday tonight?
This is Frank back again. My radio just died. So, anyway, it's all fun. This is W6GZI.
Interesting, too. They've been playing on the TV here last, I don't know, week or so. Apollo 13, great movie. Good stuff there. And no lie, I went, when I entered into Northrop Institute back in 1970, I had to have a ticket slide rule. It was one of the things you had to have. I already had a slide rule, but, you know, you had to have a picket. That was the one. That was the accepted one. And because actually hand calculators, man, the ones that were out there didn't do much. So you could do more of that slide rule quicker, and a lot of people out there say slide rule. What's a slide rule? Anyway, all right. Well, anyway, glad to have everybody out there. Last call for anybody who want to come in there with anything before we close down Tech Tuesday. This is KF6Q. Please come back.
K6YNW.
K6YNW. Chris, go ahead.
Yes, was this subject in a QST?
Yes, I believe it's on page 66, and it's the September 2012 issue.
Thank you, K6YNW.
Not a problem. Yeah, if anybody has that issue or can get online, you can get that. Pretty cool. Pretty neat stuff there. All right. Well, one last call. Anybody who has anything to add before we close the net?
You, Tom.
Yes, Mike, go ahead. And if you have any Martians, dogs.
No, that stuff scares me. I don't watch many movies.
Anyway, I kind of peeked ahead to the October issue of QST. And you know how we've been talking antennas now and then. There's a really, really neat antenna in there. It's a skeleton sleeve antenna for 6 and 2 meters, and it's made out of 450-ohm ladder line. Looks like a really neat, simple, easy-to-build antenna that they claim works. So I think we may head that way one of these weeks and kind of dig into that. Back to you, Tom. And good Tech Tuesday tonight. This just brings to mind all of these guys out there that start these things going and get technology moving the way we all like to see it. Hey, back to you, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
YNW again.
Okay, we'll take the first one, and then we'll get back to you, Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah, W6ITC. Could you call me when this thing's over?
I sure can. That'll probably be here in a few minutes. Not a problem. Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Oh, I think I'm seeing my problem. I'm looking at October. Sorry about that. K6YNW.
Oh, not a problem. Yeah, my renewal was up this night. hope I got it off in time, but I might be missing the octave. Hey, wait a minute, it's online now. Not a problem. So anyway, yeah, didn't get it in the mail yet, but it either is going to be there tomorrow or the next day, or I'm going to be online with that. That's what I get for procrastinating. Anybody else out there, any comments for we close the net?
Tom, good evening from Sun City, W6AWL.
XQ, KJ6QYN. I've got my October issue. I just got it out of the mailbox today. Thanks a lot, Tom, for doing Tech Tuesday. And if Mike is still listening in, hi, Mike. It's good to talk to you. Good to hear from you, too. KJ6QYN, monitoring.
Okay, Shelley, appreciate that, and we always try to come up with something, and the main thing is there's great articles in QST, great job that the ARRL does here, putting this out every month, so I think it's just fantastic, and also keeps a lot of variety out there, just amazing what they come up with. Anyway, Shelley also had Art out there, W6AWL, Art from Sun City, go ahead.
All right, well, I squeezed in the middle. Just so great to have the antenna up, be able to listen. Been running around here. I don't know, my daughter's looking for something on the computer here. We got things to take care of. Appreciate you doing that, Net, tonight and everything else. And being able to be out there, that's what counts for me. Thanks a lot, Tom. Talk to you later. W6AW.
Oh, good deal there, Art. Appreciate that. Thanks for the thanks. And as we do work forward here, we're doing some major things we have coming up with the Big Bear repeater. I'll keep everybody abreast of that as we get them up and operational. A lot of stuff to go install, and we're bringing this up to the 21st century. So pretty cool. So it's neat stuff. You know, not going to spoil it, but, you know, when we get it all up and running, though, we got some great news to announce. So, anyway, well, good deal. One more call. Anybody out there? All right, well, I think that wraps it up. Appreciate everybody who's out there listening in. Always appreciate all comments, suggestions, and questions, and there is no question that we can't answer. We just may not have the right answer. Right, Mike? Anyway, well, we will definitely try, and there's always somebody out there who can always direct us or direct everything into the right direction. So, all right, good deal. Hopefully you see you next week here. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control, the Tech Tuesday Net. We're going to close the net down this evening at 1900 hours and 42 minutes. Always appreciate everybody listening in. Always send us an email if you got something you want us to look up, and that would be at KF6Q, Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec, at ARRL.net, and it'll get to me. We'll dig her up. Thanks again for everybody joining us, and we will now return the repeater back to normal or abnormal use.